Couple of weeks ago, we heard an excellent, in-depth message about fruit from Mr. Paul Niehoff in Australia. He brought out points during that sermonette and lessons for us to learn about Jesus Christ's curse of the fig tree when he discovered that it was not bearing the fruit that it should have been. The lesson that he taught us, both Mr. Niehoff and, of course, Jesus Christ, is that of one of purpose. Just as the purpose of a fruit tree is to produce fruit, the purpose of a Christian in our lives is to bear spiritual fruit. And if we don't fulfill that purpose to produce good fruit, we suffer the consequences, which at its ultimate end conclude in eternal death. That, of course, is something we all want to avoid. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope that you had a similar reaction when you came away from that message from Mr. Niehoff, being motivated to do something with our lives that bear fruit. It really caused me to consider in my life what it meant. Now, the goal in bearing fruit is very clear, but to me, I started asking the deeper questions about what it actually meant to bear fruit. It can be difficult to know exactly what we need to do in order to achieve the result of bearing fruit. It is obviously a metaphor, and it is something that we should all have a general sense of what it means, but how does it work? What does it look like to have fruit grown to full maturity? How can we tell if we're bearing fruit? We are told that you can judge a tree and our lives as Christians by the fruits, but what does that look like? And if we consider that the fruits that we produce are truly the final result of our actions, the better question is, how can we tell if we are bearing good fruit? This is really the question that I wrestled with, and I hope to dig into with you. The fruits of our work are an outward measure of our success, but how can we measure that? So I would like to begin with the scripture that Mr. Niehoff left off with, and that is Galatians 5, verse 22, if you don't mind turning there. This is the pivotal scripture that tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. So as a reminder, Galatians 5 and verse 22 tells us, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." I'll stop there. So this is what we understand that we are supposed to be producing in our lives. It is these attributes. We need to consider what's going on here, though. If we understand what a fruit is, it is the end result. It is the product of at the end of a process. For a tree, it brings in sunlight, brings in water and nutrients from the ground, and it works to produce this end result. In our lives, there is a similar process where we do certain things. We think, we work, we take action in our lives, and all of those things that we do result in an end product. There is no shortcut to producing these kinds of attributes, love and joy and peace. You cannot force love where it doesn't exist. You cannot force joy where it doesn't exist. You can't produce these attributes artificially. That is the point. It's one thing to understand that these are the fruit of the Spirit, but we can't make them happen if we don't follow the process that is required in order to produce these attributes. These are the results of a process, and we have to follow that process. Therefore, if we want to produce these kinds of results in our lives, love and joy and kindness and faithfulness, gentleness. If we want those, then we need to understand the process that God designed that produces those things, and we need to live by it. And where can we learn about that process? Turn over to Mark 4 with me, and I'll have you focus on verses 18 and 19. And in fact, this is exactly where I began in this study, which began before Mr. Niehoff gave his excellent sermonette. This stuck out to me. Mark 4, verse 18, we read the following. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now we see a connection here between fruitfulness, or in this case, unfruitfulness, and the word of God, and the ways of this world, which, as we know, are enmity against God. The word here that is being choked out is referred to both as the word of God, and that is from the parallel scripture in Luke. It is also referred to as the word of the kingdom, and that is the parallel scripture from Matthew. Now, the word of God, of course, is that this Bible that you and I have in front of us. It is the body of instruction, commandments, and stories, and things that we can learn from. That is the word of God that helps guide us in our actions. And the word of the kingdom is a subset of that. Of course, that word of the kingdom gives us hope for the future. The word here is described as being the unfruitful thing, obviously, because it is not being put to work in somebody's life. It is the word of God not being activated in these individuals' lives, as it is being competed with the cares of the world. Therefore, if we are following along here and reading what the cause and effect is, the process of producing good fruit involves putting the word of God to work in our lives, to use it, to live in obedience to the commandments, to act in accordance with the hope that we have for eternal life in the future. By doing those things, by taking action in our lives, we make that word of God fruitful in our lives. And what happens when that takes place? We produce the results, that fruit of the Spirit, automatically. We don't even have to try and force joy. That is the natural end product of living with the word of God directing our actions, directing our lives. We can also see that putting this process designed by God into place involves not letting the cares of this world take over. Being flesh and blood, of course, that is difficult, but it is very important that we understand that the word of God gives us a spiritual influence, spiritual direction to follow that is in contrast to the ways of this world. This process does work. I'll cite an example for you. First Matthew 24 and 12 says, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Now we, of course, know that the law of God is given to us in the Word, in the Bible. Those are the commandments. And what happens when lawlessness abounds, when that Word of God is not engaged in people's lives? Love grows cold. That fruit of the Spirit does not exist. On the contrary, consider a simple act of forgiving somebody else. That too is an instruction that we have from Jesus Christ and the Word of God. What does that simple action do if we follow that word? follow that instruction. The fruit of that action, that end result, is love. It is peace. It is patience. It is gentleness and kindness. You see how these actions that we take have an end result. They produce the fruit of the Spirit just by following the word. These products come from the process of putting God's word to work in our lives, to live by these instructions. Please turn with me to Romans 8, and I'll read verses 5 through 8. Romans 8 and verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The way that we live, whether it is according to the flesh or according to the Spirit, will produce fruit. But it is living according to the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Clearly, it all starts with the way that we use the Word of God in our lives. Our attitude is something that we can control. And I believe this is where we need to start. Do we have a willing attitude, an attitude that loves the truth, that really wants to live this way? Is that where we are starting? We need to have the same perspective that David does, reading from Psalm 40 and verse 8. He writes, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. We know that David was a man after God's own heart. He gives us this great example of putting God first, putting this way of life, this word of God to work in his life. And he was very successful in producing the fruit of the Spirit. If we want to produce the positive, measurable results in our life, the recipe is simple. We don't have to force it. All we need to do is live by the word of God that we have been given and put it to work in our lives. Obey his commandments. Offer forgiveness to people. Set our minds on things above. Practice righteousness. When we do these things, we don't even have to worry about forcing the fruit of the Spirit to exist. We trust the process. We love the process of living this way. And naturally, we produce those fruits. We stay on guard against the temptations of the world that will choke out the Word of God. We live according to the teaching of the Bible with hope for the kingdom. Acting in this way with the Holy Spirit as our guide, it will bring those positive spiritual attributes that God desires for us to fruition.